This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we conclude 1 Thessalonians with at peace, the will of God, benediction, and closing. Then we move into 2 Thessalonians with greeting and thanksgiving and judgment at Christ's appearing. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Be careful what you ask for is the old adage. You ask a question, you might not like the answer, especially if you're asking the question of kind of the cold, hard facts and the demographic realities that face, well, not only our society, but especially the Christian church. There's no doubt about it that the fertility rate in the United States is not what it ought to be. That has societal and cultural effects, but it also has an effect on the demographic future of the church. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about a new survey of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members, Lyman Stone. He's a PhD candidate in population dynamics at McGill University, director of research for demographic intelligence. He's adjunct fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and a research fellow at the Institute for Family Studies. And he's author of What Is Our Life Together? Report on the results of the Lutheran Religious Life Survey. Lyman, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
What questions are you seeking to answer generally with your survey?
So I've been on talking to you all a number of times in the past, and I always appreciate getting a chance to use my academic and professional expertise for some benefit to our church body. But a little over a year ago, I sort of got to thinking, well, you know, maybe I should do more than just sort of comment on things or connect general research findings to the LCMS. Maybe I should try to directly do some research related to the LCMS. So I thought, well, I can do that. So I put together a survey, fielded it. And basically, for my particular research, what I was interested in was looking at two big topics. And basically, that's family and evangelism. And I wanted to look at these topics because they're of interest to me as a family demographer who works as part of mission team here in Montreal and previously in Hong Kong. And also because I think, as we all know, debates about evangelism and family and catechesis and quote-unquote church growth are very live debates in our synod. So I thought that this would be an interesting topic to try and collect some representative data on to understand where LCMS members are actually at on these topics.
How did you conduct your survey?
Well, what I initially wanted to do was to do the same thing that I do when I field a survey for my corporate clients, which is I wanted to go to a major reputable survey firm and hire them to find me, you know, a representative sample of, you know, 1,000 LCMS members. The companies that I normally contract with came back with absolutely absurd price quotes. And the reason is that LCMS members are a rare breed in the U.S. You know, we are appreciably less than 1% of the population, which means that to survey LCMS members, a company has to sort of burn through a lot of respondents and get them rejected until they finally find an LCMS one. I actually couldn't find a survey company that felt that they could at any price commit to getting me 1,000 LCMS survey respondents. So that kind of kicked me back on my heels and I had to really do my own thing. So I put together just a simple survey online, and then I started circulating it every way I knew how. First, just sort of, you know, friends and family within LCMS, Twitter followers, various LCMS, you know, listservs and email lists and stuff that I'm on. But then I figured I really needed a broader reach and really a more representative reach than just my social circles. So I hired a programmer to scrape all of the email addresses off of LCMS's church directory website, which was an experience. And then I emailed out the survey to every single email address listed on the LCMS website. I've tried not to abuse this email list. I've only sent now, I think, 3 emails total to these email lists over the last year, all related to the survey. That's how I fielded it, was just pushing it out to every channel that I could. And I made a short link that could like be put in church bulletins and things. And I know there were 10 or 11 churches that did circulate the survey in their bulletins or to members. I know there were a couple of classes in a couple of the Concordia universities that circulated as well. So it got sort of a wide, but not quite random circulation that then gave me about 1,300, 1,400 LCMS members giving responses.
How do you categorize the groups within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
So one of the problems with how I conducted the survey is that, as I said, it's not really a random sample, right? It's kind of this strange snowball sample of Lutherans. So I had to do a lot of reweighting, but it also meant that at the end of the day, I just cannot claim that my survey is a representative sample of Lutherans. And in particular, I think it's very likely that some kinds of churches and Lutherans were sampled more than others. So people who are very online, I know I sampled more of because I circulated it online and it was an online survey. But I sort of had a suspicion that I probably oversampled people who strongly identified as either confessional or as missional. And what I mean is I circulated it partly through some listservs of Lutheran missionaries, and I circulated it also through my social network, which tends to be highly people who would identify as confessional. And so ultimately, rather than try and describe LCMS on the whole, I decided I would try and describe individual groups that I thought I might have over or under sampled, but within those groups, I could probably describe them well. So I asked respondents to say whether they felt the church they attended most frequently was confessional or missional, or they could say, I don't know what those words mean. A lot of people said, I hated that question. I should have been able to say that my church was confessional and missional. And I said, well, that's lovely. I think that's what we should maybe all be, but I want you to categorize yourself because, again, I think many of us know that these terms, they don't mean just what a dictionary might say they mean. They kind of refer to different perspectives within the LCMS about these issues of family and evangelism. And then separately, I also asked about essentially worship style. I asked, would you say that your church is more traditional, contemporary, a mix of the two? Where would you place your church on that kind of axis? And so these were the major groups that I tried to use to talk about the kinds of differences we see within the LCMS.
What common ground exists between these two groups, confessional and missional?
So one of the challenges in any survey is people will always look, as people scroll through survey results, what they're looking for is places where there are big differences, where, oh, this group believes this and this group believes this, and they're very different. Which means that surveys can be really, really toxic breeding grounds of unnecessary division. So I wanted to avoid that. So I started out the report on the survey by highlighting some areas where I found really high levels of agreement among LCMS members. So for example, when I gave a Trinitarian statement, you know, there is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, something like 95% of people agreed with that. But not just that, there were other of these statements that are more distinctively Lutheran that got really high agreement. So for example, I asked, when I receive communion, I believe that I really am eating and drinking Jesus's body and blood. People could agree or disagree. For that question, across all subgroups, at least 90% of people agreed with that sort of conversational or casual statement of the doctrine of the real presence. Now, you might think, well, of course, 90% of people say they agree. They can agree, but do they really know what it means? What I'd say is Ligonier Ministries just put out a survey a few weeks ago where they surveyed Americans. And what they showed is that barely 60% of regular church attending Americans consistently agreed with Trinitarian statements. So it is not the case that all nominal Christians will just check the right box on these things if they don't believe it, right? What I find is that on things like I asked, it's important to baptize babies because baptism gives eternal salvation. People could agree or disagree. About 90% of all groups, 85 to 90% agreed with that statement. So there are these things where on a lot of really basic sort of small catechism content, I found really high levels of shared agreement across all groups of the LCMS. We have a lot of theological common ground. And even on something that's, it's not strictly a political question, but of course it butts up on politics. I asked, you know, agree or disagree, abortion is a sin, and found really high shares of agreement with that as well. So overall, on really sort of basic small catechism type theological questions, there's a lot of agreement in the LCMS, even across groups that see themselves as very different.
How do LCMS Lutherans appear on major long-running social surveys?
So this is really part of the genesis of this project, is that I wanted to be able to do some research that could actually be of service to the denomination and to churches and publishing houses and seminaries and all these things. And so my first step was to go to surveys that I know ask about religious identity. And there are a handful of them. Unfortunately, none of them have very large samples of LCMS Lutherans. And even if they do have modest samples of LCMS members, they don't really ask very many sort of theologically hard-hitting questions. So the General Social Survey each year gets maybe 50 LCMS members. The Cooperative Congressional Election Study each year, on election years when their sample size is bigger, they tend to get about 900 or 1,000 LCMS members. And on non-election years, when they have a smaller sample, they tend to have about 300. The Pew Religious Landscape Studies in 2007, 2014 each had about, you know, 500 or 600. The upshot of all this is that these are surveys where, you know, you've got maybe 1,000 or a few hundred Lutherans if you pool a few years. But even then, you might only have a question about, you know, how often do you go to church? Or maybe if you're lucky, you'd also have like, how often do you pray? And I think these aren't really, I mean, these are interesting, but we want to go deeper. I think most of us would like to know more about our religious communities and our church than just these kind of top line generic social survey questions.
What differences exist between the confessional and missional groups?
There are a lot of them. There are quite a few areas of difference, but my key topic of research here was on attitudes towards family and attitudes towards evangelism. And there are big differences on those topics. So for example, I gave a list of preaching topics where I said, do you think LCMS pastors should preach more on this topic? And so basically the topics were evangelism, not having sex outside of marriage, getting married, staying married, separated those two, and having children. What I found is pretty much every group would like to see more preaching about evangelism, about sexual fidelity, about staying married. Pretty much everybody agrees that these are things we should really be talking about. Now, the extent of agreement isn't always the same. So for example, on evangelism, people who said they were confessional, about 42% of them said there should be more preaching on evangelism versus about 15% who disagreed and the remainder were neutral. Whereas people who said they were missional, about 48% wanted more evangelism and about 3% felt there shouldn't be more. But when it came to having children, among confessional LCMS members, maybe 35% said there should be more preaching about the importance of having children, whereas about 25% disagreed. Among missional LCMS members, only about 15% agreed that there should be more preaching on having children, and about 45% disagreed. And if I look at traditional versus contemporary instead of confessional versus missional, the split is even more dramatic. People at more contemporary LCMS churches really didn't think there should be preaching about having children, and people at traditional churches thought there should be. Now, I got at this issue different ways. You could quibble with preaching emphasis. If you add this all up, what this all really says is that LCMS members just want a whole lot more preaching. And maybe that's true, but I'm not sure that attendance at church bears that out. So, you know, I don't think we have to take this entirely at face value. But on the whole, what we did see is, at least rhetorically, that quote-unquote confessional or quote-unquote traditional LCMS members tended to place a somewhat less strident emphasis on evangelism as a preaching topic or as a key source of church growth, and a greater emphasis on having children. And quote-unquote missional or quote-unquote contemporary Lutherans tended to place a somewhat larger emphasis on the importance of preaching about evangelism and mission, and a somewhat smaller emphasis on having children.
So what did you learn about the topic of evangelism in particular in the confessional missional groups?
Well, I would say I learned a lot, but not enough. So one of the key things that I learned is that there are these differences in emphases, but they don't always mean differences in behavior. I asked a question, have you shared your faith with someone who's not a believer recently? And the share who said that they had done so was about the same across all groups. There were not actually big differences in evangelistic behaviors across these different groups. And in fact, there's a very funny one where I gave people essentially a statement that we could call decision theology, where basically I said, agree or disagree, even if you were baptized as a baby, you know, your faith isn't really real until you like have an emotional experience as an adult. That's not exactly what I said, but it was something like this, agree or disagree with that. And what I found is people who strongly agreed with that were more likely than others to say they shared their faith with a non-believer in the recent past, and they were also more likely to say that they mentioned their religion when they're meeting new people. So, okay, people who believe in decision theology are really, really into sharing their faith with others. Okay, that's kind of no surprise. This is like your classic sort of like Southern Baptist or Campus Crusade evangelism story. The funny thing is, people who strongly disagreed with decision theology were actually the most likely to say that they had shared their faith in the last year, or that they mention their religion when meeting new people. That is to say, there's actually a U-curve of evangelistic behavior related to evangelistic theology. People who strongly agree or strongly disagree with quote-unquote decision theology both tend to be very evangelistic in terms of their actual reported behaviors. It's people who are in the middle who tend to kind of not really be into sharing their faith very much. And I found this across several different measures of evangelistic attitudes. So this was really striking to me because it suggested that a lot of our disagreements about evangelism are not so much about actually huge differences in behavior. It's not like our confessional or our missional churches actually have radically different outreach activities or something. They're actually very similar. The difference is basically how we talk about evangelism.
Lyman Stone is our guest. We're talking about a new survey of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members. When we return, what did he learn about the topic of fertility in the confessional and missional group?
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The vast array of Christian denominations can seem overwhelming. Well, if you've ever wondered what other church bodies teach, the Lutheran Witness is here to help. In the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, we take up and study 11 other Christian denominations, a brief survey of their history, key teachings, confessional documents, and then compare that with Lutheran doctrine. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more, or visit cph.org/witness to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Folks, the Lutheran Witness magazine interprets the world from a Lutheran perspective. The October issue provides a study of the major Christian denominations, their histories, confessional documents, and what we Lutherans confess in light of those teachings. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. An annual subscription for a print and digital issue is less than $20. cph.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. We're discussing a new survey of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members with Lyman Stone. Lyman, you had mentioned some stuff about fertility a few minutes ago, but what did you learn in particular about fertility and that topic among the confessional missional groups?
So childbearing was a huge part of the report. And also not just childbearing, but child rearing. There's a lot of questions in here about activities parents do with their children, what resources they use, schooling environments. I mean, I could digress on that for a whole separate hour, but I won't. Broadly speaking, what we found on fertility was that people who self-identified as confessional or traditional, they certainly had higher fertility preferences. That is, they had a higher average number of children that they said they wanted or would make them happiest or was ideal. And they had slightly higher fertility in terms of actual children ever born at a given age as well. The differences were very modest, I should say. These were not very big differences. And in general, women in the LCMS can expect to have, women who are currently in their 40s in the LCMS have on average around 2 children. And women who are in their 20s today in the LCMS at current LCMS birth rates can expect to have about 1.5 children on average. For confessional women, it might be a little bit higher, 1.6, 1.7. For missional, a little bit lower, maybe 1.4, but pretty low fertility in both groups, with a modestly higher among confessional, self-identifying confessional people. There was a difference in fertility attitudes and actual fertility, but it was not extremely large. So again, this was a case where we have a big difference in what we think there should be preaching about and what we think should be emphasized, but not as big of a difference in what we actually do.
What did you learn about catechesis?
So we asked all these questions about what families do at home with their kids. And when it comes to things they do weekly, pretty much everybody reports that they pray with their kids regularly. And, you know, a decent share, maybe 40 or 50% say that they read the Bible with their kids, at least weekly. That's, you know, not super high, but okay, 40 or 50%. We also asked, do you ever use the catechism with your kids? Among respondents who had children at home, among confessional respondents, about 20% report using the catechism at home. Among missional, it was also about 20%. For those at a quote-unquote traditional service, it was about 15%, which is a similar share for those who said they were at a service that was a mix of traditional and contemporary. Whereas of those who were at contemporary services, I did not find any respondents who had children who were at contemporary services who reported using the catechism at home at least weekly. None. But it was only 15% among traditional as well. So what I found is that although the catechism says, as the head of the household should use to instruct his children, this is not what Lutherans do. In practice, that's a dead letter in our church today. And I think that that was somewhat shocking to me. I didn't think it would be 100%, of course, but I didn't think it would be such a negligible share. Minorities report singing hymns with their kids at home. And when it comes to never using things, you know, we've got 10% of our church in all groups who said that they never read the Bible at home with their kids. We've got at least 20% of all groups who say they never sing hymns at home or songs at home, spiritual songs at home with their kids. And we've got 50% of every group that says that they never use, at least 50% of every group that says that they never use the catechism at home. Now, we can look at other things, you know, things like what are they doing at church. In general, very broad strokes, we find that the children of confessional respondents are probably receiving very slightly more intense religious formation at home and might be receiving similar or slightly more intense spiritual formation at church. But the differences were modest.
What kind of evangelistic behaviors do both confessional and missional groups report?
So as I was talking about, they both have very similar reports of sharing the gospel with non-believing social acquaintances or mentioning their religion when they meet new people. They're not huge differences. In general, I find that about 55% of LCMS members say that they have shared their faith with a non-believer, or I guess someone who's not Lutheran, within the last year. which that was a lot higher than I expected, to be honest. And then about 15 to 20% of LCMS members say that they almost always mention their religion when they're meeting new people. That's kind of the some benchmarks there of evangelistic behaviors.
What did the survey tell us about Lutheran beliefs in communion? You had mentioned there's near unanimity there, but what are the particular beliefs? Yeah.
So on that basic sort of casual statement of the Lord's presence, and I know someone will email saying that something about my casual statement of the Lord's presence is, or of the real presence, sorry, is, you know, not quite correct. But I was trying to put it in layman's terms that people will digest, so to speak. We found really high agreement, right? When I receive communion, I believe that I really am eating and drinking Jesus' body and blood. Okay. I also asked a sort of a behavioral norm. I said, agree or disagree, it does no harm to only receive communion a couple times a year. Agree or disagree. So what share agreed? And the answer was only about 10% of people agreed with that. There was a very strong norm in the contemporary LCMS that frequent communion is important. Now, you might still have disagreements about should you do it weekly, twice a month, once a month, whatever. But people in our church body seem to have they have a real concern with very infrequent communion taking. They think that could be harmful to take it only very infrequently. But then I got into, so on those two issues, there was a lot of agreement that real presence and you should do it a lot. There's agreement. But then I got to some more complicated things. So I asked, if two church members are angry at each other, they should probably not receive communion until they've resolved things. Agree or disagree? Now, again, I'm sure someone will say, you know, well, this is not quite what's meant, but, you know, Paul does say that if you have a dispute with a brother, you should go and resolve it before you come. And I believe he's actually talking about giving an offering. So it might not be directly relevant to communion, but it seems like a norm of actually being in a real relational communion before taking communion would be reasonable. So I was curious how widespread that norm is. I know for me, there have been times in my life where I had a dispute with someone else in the church, and I felt I had to resolve it before I could, in good faith, go forward and receive communion with them. So in general, I found that among confessional or traditional LCMS members, about 50% agreed that people should resolve their disputes in the church before they take communion. About 50% agreed. So that means about 50% were either neutral or disagreed. Among missional or contemporary Lutherans, it was about 30%. So that's a meaningful difference, that confessional traditional Lutherans were more likely to say that before you take communion together, you should sort of be in horizontal communion with each other. And then finally, we asked about closed communion. While there might be some rare exceptions, in general, the only people who should receive communion are people who are members of the church, agree or disagree. And I thought that was a very generous statement of, you know, there might be some rare exceptions, yada, yada. So in general, people should, only members. How widespread is agreement with close communion? And I found it was about 65% among confessional and traditional Lutherans. And among missional or contemporary Lutherans, it was about 30%. So that's a very meaningful difference. So there's real divides about communion practice. There's not so much divides about communion, about the overall belief about what communion is and the benefits it might provide to us. But there are very real differences in our church about how communion is practiced, how we go to the table together.
Lyman Sohn is a PhD candidate in population dynamics at McGill University. He's director of research for demographic intelligence, adjunct fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, a research fellow at the Institute for Family Studies, and author of What Is Our Life Together? Report on the results of the Lutheran Religious Life Survey. We'll conclude our interview with Lyman tomorrow in part two on a new survey on the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members. When we return, Dr. Carl Truman will join us. He's from Grove City College. He has written recently about the revolution of self, and we'll discuss it. How does Jesus define the Christian's identity? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Confessing Jesus at our website, issuesetc.org. Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Our church loves and is grateful for those that serve our country. Operation Barnabas, part of Ministry to the Armed Forces, equips you to reach out to veterans in your community to bring Christ to those that served. Call Ministry to the Armed Forces at 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
God bless our military.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.